Good morning to each of you. Greet you in Jesus' name, the name of Jesus. It's a blessing to see a full house here and some new faces. And I'm going to bless you all for coming. Appreciate what you shared there, Nate. Feel like it has a lot to do with what I have to share. And that's very comforting and very humbling when I tied the messages together, and it's humbling for that, for me, for that. O ye of little faith. But that was my message. It was on faith. I don't know what goes through your minds when you think about faith. What is it, or what does it look like? What does faith look like? Or how do you know if you have faith? Or can you tell if someone has faith? Those are definitely some of the questions that had wandered through my mind in the past couple weeks. And I was definitely deeply challenged by a lot of thoughts I had, and my heart was smote a few times, and I want this to be a message that we can all look into our own hearts and our lives and that we don't have any of that we can have that good leaven in our hearts, in our lives. So I want to speak a little bit about the children of Israel. There's a few of these thoughts. I don't know all the things about the children of Israel, so I had asked a few brothers some questions on this because I didn't feel like I had the time to go through all that. My understanding is there was 600,000 men plus women and children, and what that quantity was, I have no idea. I mean, I would say it was well over 1 million people that Moses led out, and we also know that there was a time. I don't know what the time frame was. The few brothers I asked, they didn't know, and I didn't look it up either, but there was a group of 20 years and older that were left out to wander, to die in the wilderness. And there was a lot of murmuring, a lot of complaining. And perhaps, I don't know, I imagine they probably, they all forgot where they came from. They forgot what they were led away from. Or could have it been rebelling? I don't know. A rebellion against what Moses had wanted them to do and was where that he was wanting to lead them. And if I put myself in those shoes out there in the wilderness, having somebody, Moses, leading us, leading myself, wandering out there for 40 years, what would my response been? Would have I been murmuring and complaining just to be wandering out there? And we saw seeing a lot of miracles that God had done in those times, and just as much with the heavenly manna, being fed every day. I'll put myself out there. I'll confess that I probably would have been murmuring and complaining, and because I would probably struggle with someone that I don't even know, Moses. Never met the guy. Probably telling me what to do. Like, I would feel like I would have a better way, I think we should go this way or that way, of just years of wandering out there. And it just definitely made me think, too, is like, if you want to turn to Exodus 14, there's a few verses I want to read there, but it just definitely smote my heart as far as to how would I responded if I would have been there? What would my faith been like? I think we all know that faith is an action word. Even though sometimes I feel like faith, when you think about faith, I include myself in this, sometimes I feel like we have a complete wrong understanding on what faith actually is. And I'm not speaking to anybody specifically other than myself. But Exodus 14, I'm going to break in there, verse 10. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord, and they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto them, unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall never see them again, no more forever. And the Lord shall fight for you, and he shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. Would have that been my response to the children of Israel? Of wondering why Moses actually led us out of there. Why were we led away from where we came from? But also I kind of want to draw our attention toward Moses here, the faith that he had. If you think about it, if you're out there and you take this stick, this rod, I don't know what kind of stick it was. I don't think there was really anything special about it that I'm aware of. But, like, you're going to hold this stick over this water, and this water is going to divide. Like, really? You're really telling me that this rod is going to hold this? Like, it took action for him to do that. If he would have never done that, the water would have never divided. Like, it took an action. It took effort. It took energy to... And so often, I feel like for myself, it's just like, I just want to try to say all the right things and think that, you know, God can take care of the rest. And I just become lazy. I don't want to actually put any effort, put any time into it, because we've got all this other stuff to do. Like, you know, this flimsy stick isn't going to do anything. Just to think about the faith that Moses had and actually believe that what God told him is what, and he did it. And we all know how that story ended. And you know, it's also, maybe we, you know, we also might think that we can't compare ourselves to Moses. I mean, Moses was chosen by God. But weren't we all chosen by God? Weren't we all led away from something, from darkness? And maybe perhaps he chose Moses because he knew Moses was going to be faithful, that he was going to do what he told him. There's just definitely some thoughts there that had definitely challenged me in my heart and my life. If you want to turn to Joshua 6, I'll read a couple verses there, Joshua 6, verses 3 through 5. This is about the taking over of Jericho. Joshua was leading them there, and they're starting verse 3. And it says, and ye shall compass the city, and ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the seventh day ye shall compass the city 7 times. And the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horns, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout. and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him. And if you think about that, from what I had read, I don't know, and found was that wall in areas it was like 25 feet tall and 20 feet thick in some areas. And I believe it was about a half mile walk around it. And it could, you know, if you put yourself there, as, again, as well, like the first couple of days could have been easy to walk around that, thinking, you know, like, okay, this, whatever. But after a few days, we get weary and tired and like, would have I been able to do that? Would have I been able to, would I had enough faith in me, enough action there behind my faith to where I would have actually done that? And in verse 10 there was, I think it was verse 10 there, Joshua tells him, he said, and Joshua had commanded the people, saying, ye shall not shout nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout, then shall ye shout. I, knowing myself, I probably would have been complaining and murmuring the whole time I'd have been walking around that. But they were, and I believe that they did not say a word when they were walking around that. And we know what happened there. After looking at that wall, like you really think that this wall is going to come tumbling down by me just walking around and not saying anything, not talking, not even say a word? I mean, how big this wall is? We walked around it for a week already, and now you're asking us to walk around it 7 times. I mean, they walked around there, I believe, like 13 times. I mean, that's 6.5 miles that they made. They walked around that. Would have you done that? Would have I done that? I would say I probably wouldn't have. Can we just pray about it? That was definitely some thoughts there too that challenged my heart. And if would have I had that kind of faith to actually do that? You don't have to turn here in Genesis 6. Talks about Noah and the ark. You know, that was another challenging thoughts for me, you know. It says that Noah was just and perfect in his generation. You know, would have I followed all those commands that God gave me on how to build the ark, you know, not to mention that it's never rained before. Probably didn't even know what rain was. And would have I spent, you know, 130 plus years, day after day, building this ark, building this boat that didn't even know what rain was? Probably, I'm assuming he didn't know what rain was. It had never rained at that point. Or I know for myself, I probably would have been like, well, we can build it out of, you know, if we build it out of cedar, we don't have to pitch it on inside and outside. You know, it's just be easier. Or, you know, if we put a couple windows in it, we could have some cross ventilation and some more sunshine or whatever. I mean, I guess there wasn't any sunshine when it was raining, but I don't believe. But would have I followed all those directions? Or we could have just built one great big pen to put all the animals in. God could have kept them all from eating each other easily. He let them all on the boat, on the ark, you know. Would have I challenged him on that as far as what for pens to build or just keep them all in one big pen? And, I mean, that list can go on all the directions that God gave Noah on how to build the ark. And perhaps, I mean, it does say that Noah was just and perfect. And God probably knew that he wasn't going to challenge him on what he tells him to do. If you want to turn to 2 Kings 5, breaking in there in verse 10, talking about Naaman and his leprosy. It says, let's start there in verse 9. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, behold, I thought, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord, his God, and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee do something great, some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather than when he saith to thee, wash and be clean? Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again, like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. That's another area that you can put yourself in those shoes of Naaman. You go to see this prophet, go to his house, and he sends a messenger to come out and see you. Like, how would have I responded to that? Like, you come to see this some great prophet of God there, Elisha, and he doesn't even come to the door. He sends his messenger out to come see you. And would have I responded any different than Elisha? Would have I been angry and mad? I'm sure I would have. And you know, you take like those the people there that with Naaman, I would say they had more faith in what he did at the time, because they had told him that if just to do that, if he'd have told you to do some great thing, he would have done it. And we know how the story ends there, that he actually did it. And would have I dipped myself a couple of times and say, this is crazy? I mean, what's this going to do? Would have I just stopped? Would have I kept going the 7 times like I was asked? And I'm sure he probably didn't see the end of it. He didn't know. He was asked to do something that he thought was just absolutely crazy. And I probably would have done the same thing. I probably would have acted the same way. Or would have I had enough action behind my faith to actually do what I was told? Like, and if you want to turn to James 2, I'm going to break in there at verse 17. It says, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yeah, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. I mean, according to the way I read that, it says, I mean, if your faith doesn't have any action or any works behind it, it's dead. I mean, at that point, I guess it could be debated whether you even have faith. If faith means there's action, then if there's no action, do you even have it? I don't know. That's in verse 18 there, the Amplified says this, but someone may say, you claim to have faith, and I have good works. Show me your alleged faith without the works, if you can. and I will show you my faith by my works, that is, by what I do. And if you notice there, it says to show me your faith. It doesn't say anything about to tell me about your faith. It just says to show it to me. And if you back up a little bit there in James 1, it says to be a doer of the word, not a hearer. Like, it's doing something requires action. Like, there's something that it requires an action behind whatever it is that you're doing. You can't say that you're doing something and not doing it. Like, and to get a little practical here, I hope you can understand my heart behind this whole thing. I'm not pointing out any fingers to anybody other than myself. We know that in Romans 13, it tells us to be subject to the governing authorities. That subject there is the same Greek word as when it talks about the wife being subjection to her husband, for whatever that's worth to you. And, you know, how does that stuff play out in my life? I mean, you just take your simple thing about as far as driving your vehicle every day. You know, as far as comes to speeding or texting or seat belts or car seats, any of that stuff. You know, like, how is that in my life? How is that in your life? And the one thing I would want for us to, for myself as well, is to think about on some of that stuff. You may think it's a small thing. Maybe you think I don't understand, which you're probably right, I don't. I do understand, like, what the Word of God tells us is true. But if we're doing that stuff, speeding or whatever it may be while we're driving, what for message does that send to your children? Is it sending a message that, you know, you can do this as long as you don't get caught? Is that okay? If you don't get caught by whoever's in authority on that, is it okay? James 4:17 says that if we know to do good and we don't, it's sin. I don't know if that would apply to that or not. And we all know that actions speak louder than words. You know, for myself, I say I have faith, but yet I can't forgive someone. And I know each one of us in here know exactly what I'm talking about as far as not being able to forgive somebody. You know, you have some ill feelings, or your actions speak otherwise. Like, I know each one of us can think back at a time when that was real in our hearts and lives. I pray that it was at one point and it's not anymore. We know about how that is as far as forgiveness. I say I have faith, but yet I can't even forgive someone. You know, it's not the words I speak that's important. It's the actions behind it. And when it comes to, you know, prayer meetings here, I was definitely smoked pretty hard on this. I say I have faith, but yet I can't even get up early on a Saturday morning to come to a prayer meeting for an hour, hour and a half. And I understand there's some things that come up that it can't, you know, you might not be able to make it. Going to put you in a real time crunch. And we know that God tests us. Is God testing us, testing our faith on whether or not if we're committed to going to a prayer meeting? Is he testing our faithfulness? You know, when was the last time I was here at a prayer meeting? When was the last time you was here? When was the last time we were all here at a prayer meeting? How many seats are empty on Saturday mornings on prayer meetings? Is that why we are where we're at? I believe our faith, it speaks in everything that we do. More so than what we know. A lot of times we feel we can say all the right things and come off like we're being faithful, but yet our action says otherwise. And we know that we're saved by faith through grace. And you shall know a tree by its fruit, not by what the tree says. I know we all know that, but I believe when it comes to our faith, the actions are going to speak much louder on Judgment Day than whatever it is that we say. It's certainly my heart that each one of us in here can hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Am I a faithful servant? Do my actions show that I have faith? Those actions, our actions are going to speak much, much louder on Judgment Day. I know that it says that we'll be held accountable for every vain word that we speak. Maybe that's talking about our actions. I don't know. We speak, including myself, mostly myself, I speak a lot of idle words. I'll say I'll do something, but I don't do it. Is that faith? Or are those idle words? That's all I have. I hope that everything was a blessing. I was not pointing any fingers at anybody. I just hope that we can all hear those words. "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And God bless you.